set free. He loves me, he loves me, and I know that he loves you too. He saved me, he saved me, and I know he'll do the same for you. And say good and faithful servant in her end. He loves me, he loves me, and I know that he loves you too. He saved me, he saved me, and I know he'll do the same for you.
If you will, now in Acts chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 9. Acts chapter number 7, verse number 9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions. I want you to pay particular attention to that. Delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. And our fathers found no sustenance. Now I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 105, verse number 17. Psalm 105, verse number 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, that's chains and shackles. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. I want to bring you a message on my heart tonight, Joseph's affliction. Now this man called Joseph, of course you know he was one of the 12 sons of Jacob or Israel. And I'm certain that most all of you here tonight, you're familiar with the story and the account that was given in the Word of God of Joseph. But did you know that God spent over a quarter, listen to me now, God spent over a quarter of the book of Genesis to tell us about Joseph? 13 chapters. Chapters 37. Skip 38 and go to 39. 38's about Judah. Go to 39 and count it all the way up to chapter number 50. That's 13 chapters God spent to tell us about the life of Joseph. And you and I know that Joseph was a type of Christ. Amen. He was a type of the Lord Jesus in many, many ways. Some have said that have studied this much more than I have, that there's over 101 different variances where that Jesus or where that Joseph was a type of Christ. And I'm not going to go into all those tonight, but I just want to bring out, if I could, the afflictions of Joseph tonight. And I'm not really going to do it in a way that you might expect, but we are going to look at the afflictions of Joseph. But as I begin to study this book, and I've studied it for a long, long time, as I begin to study this, I realize that there's a whole lot more to this than what we see on the surface. You got to understand that when God was writing His Word, there's nothing in here that He wrote for filler. Everything in the Word of God has a purpose. Everything God put in here, while it's telling us the story, it's telling us the plot, it's telling us everything about it, He's always got another motive, if you will, and that motive is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we study about Joseph tonight, we're going to look to begin with at the afflictions of Joseph. And when we look at Joseph, what I found out was, is the life, now listen to me carefully, the life of Joseph's life is a depiction, if you will, of the mercy and the salvation and the grace of God towards mankind through Jesus Christ. That's what the life of Joseph really depicts. And you're going to see that by the time we get done tonight. I'm going to show you in the Scriptures why. And so I want to look tonight. Let's just turn over to Genesis now, chapter number 37, I believe it is. And we'll just take a quick look. Now I want you to notice first of all with me, in Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 2. Now in Genesis, now we're not going to go there, but I'm just going to give you this as something so you'll know it. In Genesis chapter 35, we see the death of Joseph's mother. Amen? Rachel, she died giving birth to Benjamin, who was Joseph's younger brother. She died, so here Joseph is. Listen to me. Joseph was raised so many years, at some point in time in his life, I don't know exactly how old he was, I could probably find out with a little bit more study, I'm sure. But there was a time, there was things in Joseph's life here, he had lost his mother. And this was not just your average Joe, I guess you could say. Amen. This was not just your average guy, this average 17-year-old kid. But this was a young man that had endured some suffering even before we see this, even before it picks up here. He had endured some things in his heart and in his life. And there's no doubt in my mind, the Bible tells us in chapter 37, the Bible tells us that he was Jacob's favorite son. And I personally believe that the reason for that was the fact that you got to remember something about Jacob. He loved Rachel. Well, yes, he had several wives, but he loved Rachel. And I believe with all of my heart that when Rachel died, I believe Jacob just sort of transferred that love to the only son that they had besides Benjamin. And he put his love toward that, because when you study all this through, he had a special love for Benjamin as well. Yes, sir. And so I believe that's the reason that he had that special love for Joseph. But I want you to notice in verse number 2 of chapter 37, notice with me here. He said, these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Now get this in your mind. This is not a 50-year-old man we're dealing with. This is a 17-year-old boy, 17-year-old kid. Not slandering him, I'm just saying he was a young man. 17 years old. Hadn't really experienced a lot of things in life, but he had experienced some severe grief in his life by losing his mother. And no doubt he turned to his daddy and he had a special place in his heart for his daddy. But we find out that he was 17 years old when this first thing come upon him, when his brethren rejected him. I want you to notice this in verse number 4. The first thing that we see is the affliction. Now I'm going to move pretty quick through all of these because I want to get to the meat of the message if I could. Now look with me here in verse number 4. We find the first affliction that's recorded here in verse number 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Here he was, a 17-year-old young man, and his brethren. Now, these weren't brethren that were 16, 17, 18. These were older men. And they looked at 17-year-old Joseph, and they despised him. They hated him because they could see how much his daddy loved him. I believe another reason that you could say this is because Jacob had aged a little bit. And I want you to remember something. This is after Jacob's Bethel experience. This is after that Jacob had his name changed to Israel. Amen. And so we find out some things that took place in Jacob's life before he got to here. And I want you to notice this. The Bible says here that his brethren, they hated him. I'm going to be quite honest with you, that's got to hurt. Amen. That's got to hurt deep. And so we see one of the afflictions that he has is the fact that his brethren actually hate him. Now, of course, we know that he was a type of Christ. And no doubt the Bible said that Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. And we know that Jesus' brethren, the Jews, hated him. Amen. And I'm not going to get into all the types because that's really not the message on my heart tonight. So we see the first thing was the fact that his brethren hated him. Now, you know what happened over here. We find out that Joseph was told of his father. Jacob told Joseph. He said, I want you to go down to Shechem and I want you to talk to the boys and check on the other sons. They're supposed to be feeding the flocks. And Jacob sort of used him. And matter of fact, Jacob was going to sort of look into Joseph to kind of help him out. And so he'd go back and he'd snitch on his brothers. Because he was faithful to his daddy. He was going to be faithful to his daddy, even if it meant snitching on his brethren, even if it meant doing his brothers in. And Jacob knew that. So Jacob sent him over to Shechem to spy out, or not really not spy out, but to check on his older brothers and see how they were coming. Well, they weren't there, and he found out they was in another place. But when they came walking in, I want you to get a hold of this. This is after that he had given them his dreams. You remember he had some dreams. I'm not going into all of that. But we know that what they boiled down to was the fact that he told them, he said, one day all of you, the 11 stars and all this, the sun and the moon, they're going to bow down to me one of these days. And of course that was the tribes of Israel and that was Jacob and his wives. Amen. And so here he was telling them that, hey, you're all going to bow down to me. And even Jacob rebuked him over it. And so we find out that really stirred the pot, if you will. Now I'm trying to lay a foundation here, so bear with me. But we find out that he goes on over now and he obeys his father. And he goes and he approaches his brethren. They see him coming in his coat of many colors. And it was a coat that his daddy had given him. And here he was, he comes up through there and he's checking on his brother. And they grab him up and they said, here comes that little dreamer. Here comes that little boy that thinks he's going to do all this or that. And we'll just get him and kill him. And so they had planned on killing him, but Reuben talked him out of it. And Reuben said, I tell you what, boys, we'll just throw him in a pit over here and we'll sell him. And so they agreed to do that, and they threw him in a pit. Now, this pit was not something that you would just dig a little hole at 6 or 8 feet deep. I believe this was a well. I believe it was a well that had went dry. And I wondered in my heart, if you study your Bible, you'll find out that Jacob dug many, many wells. Amen. He dug many, many wells in Israel. This could have been one of those wells that he dug. I don't know that for a fact, but it could have been. But we find out that he was thrown in this well. Now, I want you to look with the scriptures with me. Look in Genesis 37:23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. That's why I think it was a well. He said there was no water in it. Why would God tell us there's no water in it? It seems to me there's a well there. And so I don't know how deep this thing was, but can you imagine? Get this in your mind. Here he's hated of his brethren. They walk up and he's already, he's ecstatic about his dreams. And now he's walking up to his brethren. His brethren said, let's kill him. And they snatch him up and they jerk his coat off of him and they throw him into this well. And as he tumbled to the bottom of that well, however deep it was, it had to be a hard landing. When he got to the bottom, he's all beaten, bruised, but I don't think that hurt him near as much. Probably the scratches and the bruises and the bumps and the gouges and all the cuts and scrapes that he endured going down that well, I don't believe that hurt him as much as it did when he looked up and he saw that little hole of light up there and all of his brethren peering over the edge. Say, now what's going to become of your dreams? Now what are you going to do, little Joseph? What are you going to do now? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to lay down there and die is what you're going to do. And so they had intents of selling him. But then they left to go eat. When they come back, he was gone. So I want you to notice the second affliction was the fact that he was thrown in the pit. Amen. He was thrown in this pit. Now, here he's beaten and battered. And now the Midianites come along. They hoist him up out of the well. And he's bound to be thinking, boy, you wait till I get home and tell Daddy. But what happens to him? He doesn't get to go home and see Daddy. No, what do? They sell him to the Ishmaelites and make a profit off of him. So he's sold out. Now here comes his third affliction. Now he's been rejected by his brethren. He's been thrown into a well. And now he's being made merchandise by the Midianites. Look at verse 28 with me. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And then if you look at verse number 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and a captain of the guard. Now, can you see this in your mind? They're pulling Joseph up out of that well. Now, Reuben and Judah and all the other men, they're over there eating and filling their faces and doing their thing. And these Midianites are pulling him up out of the well. And they get him up, and he's probably thanking them for getting him out of the well. And next thing you know, here comes the shackles. And they lay the shackles on his arms and his feet. You say, how do you know that, preacher? What I just got done reading to you over in Psalm chapter 105. They bound him in fetters. Amen. That's what that word fetters means, chains and shackles. Amen. So get this in your mind. Here he is. He's thinking he's been rescued. He's going to go home and tell Daddy. But all of a sudden, here comes the chains and the shackles, and they chain him down. He says, what are you doing? What do you mean? What are you doing to me? And they hook him to the wagon or whatever it was, and here they go off to Egypt. And he's walking behind that thing. And he's walking for miles and miles and miles. And what do? They get him to Egypt and sell him. Here's another affliction. Amen. He was made merchandise. Look at chapter 39, verse number 1. Now, of course, I told you chapter 38 deals with Judah and his sin. But then we pick back up in chapter number 39, he comes back to Joseph. Verse number 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. Notice that. He was a slave. He was sold on the slave market. Now I want you to think about this. Here he was. He went from being his daddy's favorite son. He went from being that, trying to help his daddy out, trying to be good to his brethren, to being thrown in a well, to being made a slave and hauled off down through the desert, carried over to Egypt. Now he's standing on the slave block in shackles and chains, and he's standing there, and he's got to be thinking the whole time, what have I done? What have I done? You don't find it. I don't see it anyway. If you see it, you show it to me. I'd be glad to back up. But I don't see it anywhere in the Word of God where Joseph ever did anything wrong. I don't find anything. I don't even see a sin of his listed in here anywhere. I don't see it. I'm not saying he was sinless perfection. He's still a man. But I'm just saying God didn't record it as far as I know. I don't remember seeing it. And I've looked in there and tried to find it, and I can't find it anywhere. And he's got to be standing on that slave block saying, what in the world is going on? Why in the world is all of this happening to me? I want you to remember something. All through this, and I've just been kind of skipping through for the sake of time, But all through this, you'll read over and over again where the Bible says, and God was with Joseph. And God was with Joseph. And God was with Joseph. He was constantly with Joseph. And here Joseph is standing on the auction block of the slavery market. And he's standing there and God is still with Joseph. Amen. So we find out his other affliction was the fact that he was sold into slavery. Now you know how that God sort of lifted him up. He put him in Potiphar. And boy, it wasn't long. Potiphar saw something in him. Potiphar saw that God's hand was upon Joseph, and he elevated him to the number. I mean, he was taking care of everything in Potiphar's house, and he said, "There's none greater in here but me." He said, "I'm here, and there's only one thing that Potiphar had withheld from Joseph, and that was his wife. That was the only thing. He'd given him access to everything else." Amen. So I believe God was just rewarding him a little bit for being so faithful, amen, and not kicking and screaming and going the way he was through all of his afflictions. But I want you to remember something. This is a boy that didn't belong there. This was a 17-year-old young man, and he's been ripped out of his daddy's arms. He's been cast out by his brethren. He's been thrown out like a dog, amen. And now he's standing out here, and even though Potiphar might lift him up, he's still got that longing to see his daddy. He still has that place in his heart about home, amen? He's still, no doubt, missing his family. I want you to notice now, it wasn't long. I don't know exactly how long. Might be able to find it with a little more study. But we find out that Potiphar's wife, she was a pervertess. She was. She was a sexual predator. That's what she was. The Bible tells us that she began to make eyes towards Joseph. Don't know how old she was, but he's still a young man. Now, I'll remind you something. He's got everything that a young 17-year-old boy has, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay? But you know what? Joseph was faithful to his God. Yes, sir. And that made him faithful to Potiphar. Amen? And he told that woman, he said, "Hey, he said, I can't mess with you." He said, your husband Potiphar has elevated me and given me everything out here except for you." He said, "You're the only thing that he's not giving me." He said, "I can't do that." And he said, "I'm not going to do anything." I'm just paraphrasing now. He said, "I'm not going to do anything to disappoint him or my God." You see, God was his motivation. But then we find out, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. That's not in the Bible, but that's just an old saying, you know. Amen. And this woman was scorned. And here she went to go for him one day. Here they were in the house alone. Nobody there but him and her. And I believe she probably walked up and took all her clothes off. I was just guessing. That's how women are when they want something like that. Bob's laughing because it's been a long time, ain't it, brother? You've forgotten a lot, brother. You've forgotten a lot. Trust me. Here this young man is. He's in his house one day. He's doing the work for Potiphar. He's bringing it all together. And she walks up to him, and she throws herself at him.
Yes, sir.
And he says, "Whoa! I can't do this." And so he flees. And what does he do? She grabs him by his coat. And he's doing everything, getting out of there. He said, "I got to get away from this woman."
Yes, sir.
Amen. Young men, just let me hit this as a side note. Let me just lay this down as a side note. Your hormones work exactly like mine do.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you human tonight?
Yeah.
Then your hormones work just exactly like mine do. And I know what they do. And I'm telling you right now, now when we get older, that might change. I understand. I know what all this other stuff we see is about. I know all about that. I'm talking about 17-year-old boys, young men. And what I'm saying is if a woman comes up and throws herself at you, there's a good possibility she's done throwed herself at somebody else and they took her up on it. That's right. So you young boys, be real careful, and you do well to look at his example right here and run and flee for your life.
Amen.
Now we find out, you know, I got to studying on this. I never did see where she ever got hers. I never did see where she got punished over that. Now, it might be in here somewhere, and I just ain't seen it. But the fact of the matter is, this is what we're talking about tonight. She turned right around after that he left and lied on him and said that he come in unto her. She stuck holding the bag, so she had to come up with a story. What did she do? She said, all right. She said, I'll just tell everybody that he came in and I fought him off and he fled because he heard the men and he left his coat behind and here it is. Here's the evidence. He come in to rape me. I mean, that's what she was saying. So we find here in verses, in chapter 40, verse number 23, we find the sixth or the fifth. No, it's 39:19. I'm sorry. 39:19. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. He was falsely accused. Amen. He was falsely accused. So we find out that Joseph now, he's suffering. Listen to me carefully. Now we're getting down to this thing. This is all introduction. But the introduction is probably longer than the message. So I'm just trying to build a foundation so you'll see something here tonight. All of this, every bit of this is leading up to the fact that God's going to use Joseph later on.
Oh, my brother, take this warning. Don't let old Satan hold your hand. You'll be lost in sin forever. You'll never reach the promised land. The old crossroad now is waiting. Which one are you gonna take? One leads down to destruction, the other to the pearly gate. One road leads up to heaven, the other goes down below. Our Savior will protect you. He'll guide you by the old crossroad. The old crossroad now is waiting. Which one are you gonna take? One leads down to destruction, the other to the pearly gate. Have to face the old crossroad. Will you be ready then, my brother, to shun the one goes down below? The old crossroad now is waiting. Which one are you gonna take? One leads down to destruction, the other to the pearly gate.